Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But you know, tomorrow we're celebrating 237 years. Declaration of Independence was actually not signed July the 4th. It was actually signed July the 1st by the Continental Congress. And it's an amazing document. You know, we're talking about getting together for, you know, cookouts. And so a lot of families do and get to get together and have fun and really just have that nice day off where you just kind of celebrate. Love to see a lot of neighborhoods already have flags out. If you have an opportunity and you have a flag or you have a chance, go get a flag. Go put the flag out. And it's just nice to see that. But we're going to be talking about today, Journey to Philadelphia. It's the time that I went to Philadelphia and I had a chance to be there and see where the Constitution was actually written. Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the 27 distinct reasons why we declared independence. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is serious. You know, we're under the rule of King George, and King George had one too many issues, and we were not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take the infringement of rights. And so they wanted to make sure that, listen, we're going to start a new country. We're going to start a new country where everyone can be respected. And we're going to hear more about this. When we come back, we're going to talk about it. Because if we don't understand what the original intent is all about, and especially this 4th of July, this Independence Day, I mean, it'd be wise to know a little bit why we're celebrating what we're celebrating. It's not just a day off. It's not just a day for a barbecue. It's a day to pause and to remember. I mean, it's 237 years. That's nothing. That's nothing. It's almost yesterday in terms of relating to other countries, another, you know, it's nothing. It's a blip on the screen.
Yeah. That's right.
It really is. And so this country, believe it or not, is a fairly young country, and we want to preserve it because we have these rights that afford us, especially as believers, the opportunity to preach the gospel as a freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And so amongst many other ones. But listen up, and we'll be right back to talk about it. You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of you know, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, it's like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade, you know, and come on. Let's. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football, video
fireworks,
games. Yeah. You know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I did. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
I don't remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then when you do learn, it's just from really, you know, a worldly perspective. And, you know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ. But now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I am a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now. Oh, it's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised. But I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey.
Right,
but I wanted to go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wanted to see. And, I mean, there's so much history, Pat. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, mm-hmm. think about it, nations in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, look how many people. I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know.
They don't want nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no. Yeah, when was right. the last time you seen them? They're banging the gates. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody want to go over there. Mm-mm. You know, and there's a lot of countries like that. Mm-hmm. But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd, we celebrate July 4th, 1776. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution was in 1787. Mm-hmm. And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. You got to go wait for the ministry. Oh, yeah. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document. Mm-hmm. And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're going to put this on the torch. We're going to put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way. Look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, that was so good. I want to hear that again.
Right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like. Mm-hmm. All the radio segments. You can email them. And many, many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner, think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it. Mm-hmm. And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh.
Pat, this is an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
Right,
this
right.
is the king there. It took men and women with guts,
mm-hmm.
with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, so I won't say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Pat, those words, that
wow.
all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator.
Mm.
Hello.
Amen.
The acknowledgement of God with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wow. words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them.
Mm-hmm.
To secure these rights. Okay? We gotta talk about this because really, how many people, myself included, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Right.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, take this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about we flip a nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed, okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying
wow.
it's a right. When these people start encroaching,
mm-hmm.
when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patience, sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay. Mm-hmm. And listen to this. The history, he writes, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the present king of Great Britain. I'm going to repeat that again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having indirect object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And, you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. And when you think about driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but, you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know, but you see little seedlings, you know, like, you know, green leafy things. All right. Don't laugh at me. But you see green and they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain and rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case.
Right.
We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good.
Mm-hmm.
He says that it says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them.
Mm-hmm.
He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them.
Right.
Okay? He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England. It's right. Like, hello, it's a little bias here. Right. You know, how can I get a fair new our judicial system, although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resists the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent? And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document, and I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here, and I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Mm.
Ah.
Wow.
And then later on, he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now these are noble men, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if your leader's like, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring. God is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes on and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
All right.
Okay. And so they it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay. They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Mm.
Ugh.
Wow.
Ugh. What men?
Talk about commitment.
Talk about commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back, you know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can, mm-hmm. can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them, it's like, this is not what the founding fathers had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness. That's is right. No, really, no law at all. It's like, wait a minute. You can't restrict you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important. You know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, many of these men, 56 of them signed it. And basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well, off with our heads. You know, they knew they were
taking a big chance.
That's right. You know, when you're committed, when you put your name on it, right?
Amen.
Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know, put your signature on it, you know? And so I just want to encourage, you know, America, I want to encourage the church that this is our time to appreciate, you know, our country. And it's so important because, you know what, if we don't know the original intent, we're not going to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at this document and how this came to be. I love the first words of this document. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And I mean, they're just right from the beginning laying it all out, saying, listen, we're not only going to separate, we're going to tell you what's impelling us. Well, you know, we're going to let you know. We're going to make it plain in English. We're going to tell you how it is. And the next, I guess, section says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I mean, think of that statement alone, that all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
That they are endowed by their creator right from the very beginning. The founding fathers acknowledge that there's a creator. It's God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's so important, that the government gets their rights from the people, from their consent, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right from the very beginning, they're making it very, very clear that, listen, this is about we the people,
mm-hmm.
not about you the government.
Right.
And it goes on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what ends? The ends of life, the ends of liberty, and the pursuit of happiness,
mm-hmm.
it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. They're saying, listen, at any time any government gets out of control and forgets
mm-hmm.
or ignores the whole reason here, why we're declaring this,
right.
It is the right of the people to alter it, to change that, to make it right, to abolish it.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. And on top of that, to institute a new government,
right.
Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing in its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. I mean, this is a document that really clears everything up, because you understand there was 27 things that happened, 27 reasons why we wanted to get away from King George and the British government.
Right.
And to see what has happened over the years, and to see that how this country really just came to existence and is still around, it's only a relatively short amount of years, 237 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating the birthday, but you know, the Declaration of Independence, some interesting facts, there's more than one copy. There was five copies that were printed by a printer that John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and a couple other guys, they were charged with overseeing the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it printed at a man's printing shop, a Philadelphia printer named John Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there was like about five copies that were around. Of course, you know, we have, you know, there's one government, you know, we have, the government has a copy. My understanding that state of Texas has a copy.
Really?
One of the constitutions.
Wow. To this day?
Yeah. They, cool. Yeah, they have, what's my understanding. And also, check this out, most recently, the last two additional copies have been found in the last 25 years. In the last 25 years, yeah. This, I'm getting this from History.com is doing a whole thing on the Declaration of Independence. And this is what they say. It's very interesting. In 1989, a Philadelphia man found an original Dunlap broadside. This is, you know, the original copy.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of a picture frame he bought at a flea market for $4.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I think I heard about that.
In the back of a picture frame that he bought for $4. Get this. One of the few surviving copies from the official first printing of the Declaration. It was in excellent condition. You can guess how much it sold for?
Oh, I'm sure it's millions.
$8.1 million. $8.1 million.
Wow.
We're going to flea market this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it's $4 for the picture. I mean, it's just amazing. And then another one, actually, believe it or not, was found in the British National Archives. Apparently, it was captured or something during the Revolutionary War and was preserved in a box.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty interesting when you think about everything that's happened and what happened as a result of the signing of the Constitution and what we're living out today. I mean, it's important. You never thought, like, how much we've taken our Constitution, we've taken the freedom of these countries for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And here lately, in, you know, on VFN Radio, we've been taking the opportunity to educate ourselves on the Constitution, educating ourselves with the Declaration of Independence, and journeying back to understand why our nation was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And we even talked about a great program and a great movie that we talked about on this program called Monumental.
Monumental.
And it really traces it back even to the beginning of the Pilgrims, the Puritans, and then why they came to this country for religious freedom. I mean, right from the very beginning, it's almost like God had set this country aside and apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have everywhere, God bless America. But, you know, the question is right now, is America blessing God?
That's right.
Yeah, we've turned to the blessing and turned away from the God that blessed us.
Come on now.
Mm, yeah.
I just saw something on Facebook by Dr. Tony Evans, and it's really an interesting caption, but he has a caption that says, "One nation under God." When one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect the consequences.
Mm.
I'll read that again. When one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect the consequences.
Mm.
And listen, God's blessed this country.
That's right.
I mean, he's blessed this country. And you put the United States up, I mean, we have states like Texas, states like California, states like Florida, you know, New York, some of these big states, they have bigger economies in these states alone than most of these countries around the world.
I know.
Around the world.
Yeah.
And those are just the states.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, I mean, we're so blessed. And oftentimes people don't realize this until they actually go overseas, and now with, you know, the internet and YouTube and things that you're able to see about how folks really live around the world, you don't have a perspective. You don't have an understanding of really how good you have it. And you're seeing today the erosion of so many rights. You're seeing the erosion of so many. Just recently, there was a minister in Delaware who was told that he couldn't preach. He wanted to do a Sunday sermon at the beach, I believe during the holiday. And he was told by the city manager that he couldn't do it because it was separation of church and state. It's like, this is the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
There's people cutting up and acting crazy on that beach, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And someone can't go out there and communicate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking, that's just something, I mean, not minor, but that is just one upon many things that are happening today. And but at the same time, you're seeing a resurgence. You're seeing a lot of Americans that are looking and saying, wait a minute, we don't want this to slip by.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from the break, we're going to have a video from you. You're going to hear from really one of the greatest presidents, I think, that we've had in our nation, President Ronald Reagan. You're going to hear in his own words what he feels about America, and you'll enjoy it.
On the eve of our struggle for independence, a man who might have been one of the greatest among the founding fathers, Dr. Joseph Warren, president of the Massachusetts Congress, said to his fellow Americans, "Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves." Well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves. Ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. With the idealism and fair play which are the core of our system and our strength, we can have a strong and prosperous America at peace with itself and the world. So with all the creative energy at our command, let us begin an era of national renewal. Let us renew our determination, our courage, and our strength. And let us renew our faith and our hope. It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams. We will again be the exemplar of freedom and a beacon of hope for those who do not now have freedom. We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free.
What a powerful speech here by Ronald Reagan. I mean, former President Ronald Reagan, and he talks about the greatness of our country, the greatness of the United States, and what it stands for, and the people that make up this great nation. But we must never forget as Christians that, listen, it's not always about the country. It's about the people that make up the country, and it's about the people knowing and coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to believers. As believers, we can't raise America above the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. But I tell you that if we hold on to this constitution that affords us the rights to be free, to worship freely, to speak freely of God, to read and give away Bibles, it's actually illegal in some countries to actually own a Bible. If we continue to stand for these truths, we can continue to share the gospel freely and openly, not only in this country, but in the rest of the world. America needs a transformation, and America needs to bless God. It's time. It's time for a great awakening. Why not start with you?
Music. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.